Larson, good morning.
Morning, Jack.
Our question of the day brought to you by United Structural Systems, your foundation repair and waterproofing experts. iFixFoundations.com, 859-254-7700. Here's the question of the day. Ray likes me to ask him the question of the day. We hear more and more rough language. I hear it around here a lot when you're here. Is it ever appropriate to swear in public?
No. My wife would be... No, I couldn't get in the house if I said sometimes. So the answer is absolutely not, Betty.
Okay. Betty. Yesterday's results is the U.S. right to send warships to monitor the situation in Yemen?
Yes. Should have done that a long time ago.
Well, 67% agree with you. Said we need to make sure Iran's role doesn't grow. 33% said no. Haven't we learned? Back to our question of the day, is it ever appropriate to swear in public? You can tell us at WVLKAM.com. Tune in for the results with Cruiser and Crew between noon and 3. And our guests this morning, one is just almost a regular on this program, and another guest that is a victim of crime. This is, I understand, we're approaching the end of National Crime Victims Rights Week. Ray, tell us who you brought with you this morning.
Well, Mary Houlihan is the director of our victim services in our office, and she is really a mover and a shaker in the crime victims rights arena, and we're real proud of what she does.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Jack.
Always good to see you.
You too.
Thank you.
And Sharon Muse is a lawyer, and she's been a lawyer for 10, 12, 15 years, and you practice in Georgetown,
yes,
is that right? Yeah. And Sharon was the victim of a crime in 2006, and we're going to ask her to tell us about it, and this guy picked the wrong person, because she is now a nonstop activist for people being able to take charge.
Good, Sharon.
Of their own situation and to speak up and act up. So, Sharon, welcome.
Get right on that mic, Sharon. As I told you, it's not very good. Where are you from?
Originally from Georgetown.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes, sir.
Where'd you go to law school?
U of L. University of
She didn't have to say that.
Went to undergrad at UK.
Okay, well, okay. All right. You saved yourself.
Yes. Sure.
And do you? I know that Kentucky does not recognize specialty of law. I've done that disclaimer, but do you have a specialty that you do?
I did a lot of family law and civil litigation.
Okay, and you still practice?
I've reduced it quite a bit to focus really on this.
No kidding. So you're on a mission.
It's my main priority. Yes,
good.
Definitely.
Excellent.
You know, Jack, I was at some point in my career. I practiced civil law in Paducah.
Mm-hmm.
And these days, I think family law, domestic cases are some of them that you find yourself in some of the most dangerous situations.
Absolutely.
Because you're talking about child custody, you're talking about fighting over the toaster.
Mm-hmm.
When I did that, I can remember saying, look, I'll buy you a toaster.
Yeah.
Because it gets down sometimes just to the principle of
it. Right.
The emotions take over, and people will pay attorneys thousands of dollars to fight over a $20 toaster from Target because they're mad at each other.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. Stupid,
to say,
too.
Criminal law is bad people on their best behavior. Family law is great people at their worst behavior.
That's a good line.
That is a good line. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's going to use it.
Yeah, it's mine.
Yeah, Ray will steal it and not give you credit.
No,
I
don't know that I made that up, but we'll pretend I didn't.
I'll give her credit when I'm caught.
There you go.
Sharon, Lee Searcy, yeah, who is a reporter for...
Fine reporter.
Yes, she is, and she is a fine person.
Yes.
Sent me a note and said, I just met somebody that you need to talk to, and it would be a good idea if you could have her on American DA Live. And so I called, And it was like getting a, I said, tell me your story. And it was like getting a drink of water out of a fire hydrant. So, Sharon, tell us a little bit about how your case came up. And Jack, the guy that committed the crime against Sharon has been diagnosed as a narcissistic personality, which means he loves the attention. So we're not going to mention his name.
Good.
And other than the fact that we think he's a jerk. So why don't you tell us a story?
Well, I, right out of law school, I had a married couple come in my office, ask me some questions on something I couldn't help them with. I just spent a lot of time with them, nice to them, let them go. Months later, the wife calls me frantic, saying, my husband's been arrested, we're really scared, we need your help. And I told her, I don't do criminal law. I'm 6 months out of law school. You need somebody else. And she said, but we like you. You helped us. We trust you. And I said, okay, I'll take you through the few basic first initial steps, and then you have to go somewhere else. And I drafted my contract that said that, the whole deal. So I help them out through district court. Actually,
you
did a really
a contract,
good job.
You sign yes, a sir. Contract with a client.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Saying what you
detailing,
will and won't do.
I will take you to this stage, okay. And then you have to retain someone else. I did it. You know, being my first criminal case, I was completely obsessed, but 3 weeks of work into something an experienced attorney could have done in maybe 2 hours. So over-prepped, did a great job, got him home arrest, ankle bracelet, whole deal. And then I withdrew, talked to him about it, and I never thought anything about it again. Well, 6 years later, I was leaving my law practice on a Friday about 5, and he had been out of prison for 6 days, and he was waiting for me in the hallway with a knife strapped to his ankle.
With what?
A knife strapped around his ankle, which I couldn't see. I didn't know. And as I walked in the hallway, he was waiting for me with this frantic story, you know, teary-eyed. I'm afraid. My wife just died. We're so scared. We need your help. I need to talk to you right now. And I didn't know who he was.
Didn't remember him.
Not
yeah.
at all. I could.
Yeah.
His face looked somewhat familiar, and he was speaking to me very intimately like a client, so I knew I'd represented him. And he told me, my family loves you. My grandmother insisted you're the only one who can help us. We need to do this. We need to do that. And I couldn't. I was trying to explain to him, it's Friday at 5 o'clock. I can't help you right now. You know, come back Monday morning. You'd be glad to help. And just in the moment from when I opened the door to leave my office to where I got to my car and he got in, not necessarily with my permission, when I...
He got in your car?
Yes. That was about a 62-second span. And in that span, when I look back on it, I see 14 clues that should have triggered me that I needed to get out of there no matter what. But I was too polite, didn't want to be rude. This is a client, he needs my help. And he said he needed a ride 3 blocks away to his grandmother's house. And I'm thinking, okay, here's this grieving client. I just couldn't shake him. I didn't know. And he got in my car physically, and I didn't know how to get rid of him. So I thought, I don't know what to do. I'll drive him to his grandmother's house.
At what point did you feel this is a threat?
Actually, when I opened the door of my office before I crossed the threshold, I saw the sleeve of his arm jerk back, and for a moment, my brain thought, why is someone hiding from you? Why is someone hiding in the hallway?
So you didn't think it was right from the beginning?
From the beginning, I took out my cell phone and called the guy I was dating and just held it so he could hear everything, because I knew my instincts were telling me I wasn't safe, but my logic wouldn't allow me to accept that.
And your boyfriend heard the whole...
And I knew that if he knew I was supposed to be headed home and I'm talking to a man he didn't recognize, mm-hmm. I knew he wouldn't just hang up thinking, oh, this is a pocket doll. He would listen, and he did. He's a smart. I'm not dating anymore. He's still smart. And so he did. He took notes. He did a great job. He gave me, at one point, I put the phone up to my ear, and he said, you know, where are you? Tell me where you are. And I'm like, I don't know where I am. He's like, give me signals. So I started saying things like, why are you making me do this? Why are we going into Bourbon County? And he could hear him hitting me. He could hear him grabbing me. Anytime I said or did anything he didn't like, he would like grab the back of my neck and shake it and tell me not to disrespect him, or he'd punch me.
This was while you were driving.
While I was driving.
Okay, well, we're getting ahead.
We're getting ahead of ourselves, aren't we? Yeah. Let's take a break before we do anything else. And if you have a question or comment, 253-5959, touch *590 from AT&T, toll-free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590, or email jackpatty@wvlkam.com. It's 9:18, and if you need a loan, there's no hassle at the castle. The biggest discounters of diamonds and fine jewelry. Forecast increasing cloudiness this afternoon. High temperature in the low 60s. Tonight, cloudy with showers, a low of about 50. On Saturday, cloudy with showers and thunder showers, likely some storms, actually, could be strong and a high temperature in the upper 60s. And then the forecast for Sunday is rain ending early and a high in the low 60s. Checking the radar right now, we have no precipitation, fair skies. It's 44 at your official weather station, News Talk 590 WVLK. Do you have a loved one who is seriously ill? Would you like them to stay at home and have their bothersome pain and symptoms controlled and be able to enjoy each day? Well, Hospice of the Bluegrass wants to be a resource for you. If you call them today, you can discuss if hospice, if a referral could help your loved one. Anyone can make a referral to hospice, and choosing hospice care easily can add life to your loved one's days. Now, most families say they wish they'd call sooner. That's the number one comment that hospice received after their loved one has passed away. We wish we'd call sooner. Hospice understands your reluctance and fear of the unknown, and that's why their team of medical professionals will work with you and your loved one to provide comfort and care so that your family can have more quality time together. Hey, don't put off this important call. Hospice of the Bluegrass is here to help. Their phone number, 855-492-0812. Let me give you that again. 855-492-0812.
News Talk 590 W. Modern technology continues to make cars smarter. How long until we're not driving them? I'm Giff, and this is Tech Trends. Well, Elon Musk, the guy that developed the Tesla, thinks there's going to come a time where it will be illegal for people to drive a car. Not meaning you won't be in one, it just means you won't be in control of it. Well, that's a ways down the road, but the way things change, I don't doubt it. Now, Tesla is not the only car company that is doing some really neat high-tech stuff. Ford is also doing some really neat stuff. They have a thing called the Intelligent Speed Limiter. It automatically detects road signs and cameras and slows the car down when necessary. It reads speed limit signs. It has a camera mounted in the windshield and can tell how fast the speed should be. So if your cruise control is set at 60, all of a sudden the speed drops down to 50, the car slows down all by itself. That should be very handy for those that don't pay too much attention and police departments that like a good speed trap on occasion. That's Tech Trends today. Good luck out there.
Data transfer complete.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project, we never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org. On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project, we never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Listen to News Talk 590 WVLK live anywhere, anytime at WVLKAM.com.
And we're back. 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590. Email jackpatty at WVLKAM.com. Boy, what a compelling and horrific story that our guest victim, Sharon Muse, is telling this morning about this former client from 6 years earlier. She just barely remembered attacking her, and we didn't even get that far. So, Ray, I'll let you go back to the question.
Let's go back to the fact that he climbed in your your car without your permission and said he wanted to ride to his grandmother's house, which is three blocks away. So he got in, and you were frightened at
yes,
this
sir.
Point. Okay,
yes,
so what happened?
Well, you know, I made every excuse I could think of to get him out of there without causing a physical confrontation, because I didn't know how to manage one of those. I had no training, had no skills, and eventually I just, it, what I thought was me trying to talk him out of it or let him down easy was actually him learning that I was a soft target and that he was going to be effective in his plan, because I couldn't even get him out of my car, much less was I going to fight back when he physically attacked me. So I told him seven different ways. I was like, I've got to be in Louisville in an hour. I'm running late. There are people waiting for me, blah, blah. Everything I said to him, he came back with a response with. And then it just happened to have a big thundercloud and some rain started coming. And then that was just perfect timing for me to feel like a jerk if I kick this guy out of my car, who's a former client, whose wife just died, whose family loves me, and he needs me.
So you're thinking, even though you feel threatened, you're thinking he could be legitimate.
I thought he was. I mean, yeah. I asked him questions, you know, did your wife leave a will? Was it witnessed by two people? Was it noted? All those questions. And he answered me, and it seemed like a very coherent conversation. And I legitimately thought he was a former client who needed my help, who was frightened. But there was just something inside my body saying, you're not safe. And I couldn't understand. The words he's saying are non-threatening at all. But his behavior is making me uncomfortable. And I was like, you're being silly. This can't really be happening. Just give him a ride and get it over with.
But now is he saying, okay, my grandmother lives up here. And is he telling you where to turn, et cetera?
Well, as soon as we got in the car, I knew that I was not, that this wasn't what I thought it was. And I turned, and after we'd gone about three blocks, I said, okay, we've gone more than three blocks. And at this point, I'm panicked. I'm breathing heavy. I can't catch my breath.
And he knows you're onto him, I guess, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he said, well, it's just down here. And then the physical, you know, he saw me hiding my cell phone, and he grabbed it from me twice. So it's a very physical car ride. I'm trying to jerk my phone back. In my mind, that's my only source of safety.
Sure.
I didn't want to call 911 because I didn't know what to tell them or if I could get the phone to my ear. So I was hoping that Jeff was listening and collecting this information. And thankfully he was. And at one point the defendant grabbed the phone for me and actually spoke to Jeff. And was
what
saying,
did he say?
He said, you know, there's a lot of money in this for Sharon. You don't need to worry. I'm going to take good care of her. And Jeff was saying, look, there are people waiting for her. We know where you are. You need to let her go. You need to get out of the car. And I was just, that was the moment in the car that I started praying. And I was like, God, please don't let Jeff make him mad. Please don't let him make him angrier. I was just trying to keep him calm. I was watching his hands. He would put his hands between my legs. He would punch me. He would grab me. And it was just total chaos. It was complete chaos.
You know, Jack, as I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, How would I have
reacted
with this?
Yeah. Everybody that's hearing this is thinking that, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I'm not certain, but I wouldn't have just stopped the car and jumped out.
I thought about that.
Yeah.
And I thought he's 4 inches from me. Mm-hmm. He's just gonna and eventually when I did that, that's what happened, was he stuck a knife in my throat and started beating me.
So you did try to get out of the car.
I did eventually get out of the car, yes. But it was,
oh, wait a minute, I've interrupted you.
No.
You keep going.
Well, throughout this ride, he's telling me, turn here, turn here, turn here. As we do this, I'm saying, okay, you know, are we almost there yet? And anytime I challenged him, it would be a punch or a grab or a finger in the face saying, don't you disrespect me like that. So I thought, okay, keep him calm, keep him steady, and maybe he won't hurt me. At some point, I think he's probably going to try to rape me. And I'm trying to gear up for that and think, how am I going to fight my way out of this? And by the time we get to the location he took me, which is an abandoned house with two barns, everything inside of me was screaming, he's going to kill you. You're done. This is it.
He knew where he was going.
Exactly. He never hesitated. He never paused at every turn. And there were a lot of, and we didn't even drive. There's a very direct route to get to where he took me. We went a very long, circular, winding back and forth route, and by the time we got there, I was so disoriented. I had no idea where I was.
Is that why he did it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because I literally, when I called 911, I couldn't tell him where I was. I had no idea how to get help. But when he told me this is where they live, and I said, I just started screaming, you're going to get out of the car, get out of the car. And he pulled the knife out from his ankle. And as he's bringing it towards me, I'm screaming for Jeff. I'm like, he's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. Call the police, which Jeff does, but he can't tell him where I am. So So it's very violent in the car. He grabs me and slams me down onto the console. He's slamming my head into the steering wheel, into the window. And I
with a knife in his hand?
Yes. And I land on the console, and he's putting it up toward me. And he's telling me, this is for those years in jail. Take your clothes off, which he'd already ripped my shirt and bra, but I still have pants on. And I said no, and the next thing I know is he's not on top. I had felt the knife pushing into my throat. It got caught on this big, chunky necklace I was wearing. Cut a big divot out of it. But I can feel this pressure pushing into the side of my throat. I can feel the cold blade on the bottom part of my throat. And I keep thinking I'm going to feel warm blood run down my throat. I'm going to gasp, and that's going to be it. I literally just thought, okay, you're dying right now. And because I couldn't move, he was on top of me, and my seatbelt had me pinned in. And then the next thing I know, like I said, he was off of me, back over in his seat. The knife was in the floorboard. The tip of it was broken off. My dashboard was all scarred up from where the knife had been drugged through it, popped off the radio, busted my CD player, and landed on the floor. And when I saw that the knife was on the floor, I thought, okay, I can get out of this. So we really start going at it. I mean, fighting and punching and kicking. I'm clawing at the door. And I keep thinking, I've got to get my keys out of the ignition so at least they'll find my body. I still think he's going to kill me. I'm like, there's no way. I have no hope of surviving this, but at least they'll find my body.
Hold that thought. Taking a break. 253-5959. Touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere. 1-877-777-0590. Email jackpatty at wvlkam.com.
Expect the balance you've asked for. News Talk 590 WVLK. Depend on it.
Good morning from the News Talk 590 WVLK Pharmacy Shop Information Center. I'm Scott Johnson. Here's what's happening. About two dozen students at an Indiana high school hurt last night when the stage they were performing on collapsed. They were performing in a school concert. All of the injured were on stage, were taken to area hospitals. All of the injuries were considered minor. Women continue to gain parity with men, but in some areas, it might not be good for them, like when it comes to guzzling alcohol.
Binge drinking, not a good idea in general, but increasing in America nonetheless. A study just published in the American Journal of Public Health shows more of us are now considered heavy or binge drinkers than in recent years. One reason is that women are drinking more overall and binge drinking more specifically. In fact, binge drinking by American females from 2005 to 2012 rose a whopping 17.5%. The survey studied drinking patterns in every county in the nation during the 10-year period from 2002 to 2012. I'm Paul Harlan.
News at the top and bottom of the hour. Breaking news instantly. Depend on Lexington's news, weather, and traffic leader. News Talk 590 WVLK.
We'll end up mostly to partly sunny Friday. Highs low to mid-60s. Showers tracking in overnight with upper 40s for the low. And then it looks like some strong to severe storms could be tracking through for your Saturday. Highs in the upper 60s. Strong to severe storms risk mainly Saturday afternoon, Saturday night. So be weather aware. Sunday, just a few showers hanging around low 60s for the high. That's the LEX 18 Storm Tracker 3-day forecast. I'm meteorologist Tom Ackerman on your official weather station. News Talk 590 WVLK.
Nothing on the radar. Fair skies and 44 at your official weather station, News Talk 590 WVLK.
Right now, traffic with the Scheller Automotive Traffic Center. We still got some company and some congestion out on Leestown Road through some of the construction out there, especially inbound. Got some company out on the Versailles Road corridor right now as well, coming past the Castle and in around Keeneland and Man of War. Of course, today the final day of racing out at Keeneland for the spring meet, so you're going to have lots of folks out there, and we're seeing lots of folks out around the horse park as well. Exiting off I-75, coming over from Georgetown Road and from Newtown as well, headed to the Horse Park for the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event, which continues on through the weekend. Right now, traffic from the Scheller Automotive Traffic Center. I'm Brad Brunson, News Talk 590 WVLK.
Red Eye Radio with your hosts, Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's like that side doesn't even exist. in the arena of ideas.
The Republicans are now afraid of success. They're afraid of doing the right thing. They're afraid of doing anything, it seems. At least the leadership is.
Red Eye Radio, overnight on News Talk 590. WVLK.
Friends over at Midway College have all kinds of things for you. The degree programs that are available, some for the female students that attend Midway, and then others that go to the Lexington location out in Hamburg. And many of their degree programs are available as online degrees. One of those is sport management. It's a bachelor's degree. It used to be an in-classroom degree. Now you can take this whole thing online. It's interesting. We'll prepare learners for a variety of settings, from business to community, private, public, well-rounded education, integrating sports industry knowledge with the fundamentals of management, marketing, accounting, and finance. You may not know this, but Midway is ranked by U.S. News & World Report in the top 50 regional colleges in the South. 85% of their students receive some type of financial aid each year. And you can get information about the sport management program or any of the degree programs they offer on their website, which is midway.edu. That's midway.edu.
Dependable, accurate, and immediate. Lexington's official weather station. News Talk 590 WVLK.
And we're back. We've had some really compelling guests on this program, Ray, in the however many years we've been doing this, but none is fascinating to me is this one. I tell you, this one's got me on the edge of my seat. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to sleep very well tonight. Thank you very much for scaring the crap out of me, Sharon. I can't even imagine the horror that you lived through. And Ray was kind of giving me an update here in the break saying we got a lot of ground to cover with not very much time. But Sharon has agreed if we don't get her done, which we're not, come back and finish the story because it's too important not to do it right. Ray?
Okay, so you got to the scene.
Yes, sir.
Where he stopped, and he had torn some of your clothes off.
Yeah.
And so, pick it up. What are you thinking? What's happening?
Honestly, I'm not having a lot of logical thoughts. I keep thinking, this can't be happening. It's as if my mind doesn't want to believe I'm really about to be raped and stabbed to death. The only thing I was thinking was, my parents have to know what happened to me. I just kept envisioning my parents growing old, never knowing what happened to me and never finding my body. So I thought, I've got to get my car keys out of the car so he can't drive off in my car. I was obsessed with, not the knife in my throat, but I was obsessed with, don't let him take your car. They'll find your body if they find the car. So as we're fighting, I'm shoving my hand through the little small area around the steering wheel to jerk my keys out of the car. So I'm clawing and clawing with
the car. Was the car running at the time?
It was.
Yeah.
I had put it in reverse and backed into this farm driveway where he was trying to force me behind a barn, and he had put his hand on my hand and forced the car into park. And so I'm trying to jerk the keys out, not realizing I need to turn it off, but I'm frantic trying to jerk the keys out, kicking the door with my left foot, clawing at it with my left arm, and fighting him off with my right arm. So I turned to look out to try to find the door handle, thinking I've got to just open the door and throw the keys out. And when I turned to my left, I noticed a truck far down the country road. And when I saw that truck, I thought, if I can get in front of that truck, I may live through this. And so this renewed sense of I may live through this came over me, and we were just pounding on each other, abusing each other, and skulls cracking and blood and punches. And I couldn't use my right arm for 3 months after this because it was just, every part of it was fractured and injured and bruised. But we're fighting, and as we're fighting, I popped the door open and I could get my left foot onto the gravel and I would feel it sliding around, and he'd jerk me back in and we'd fight some more. But three times I got my foot on the gravel. And the fourth time I got out, and as I'm getting out and he's jerking my arm, trying to get me back in, he's yelling at me, it doesn't matter. I'm going to come back and kill you anyway. It doesn't matter. You can get away from me now. But this is what I hear from him as I'm getting out of the car. And I just shoot right through the ditch and pop up in front of a big oncoming truck. breast exposed, bloody, hair hanging out, just chunks of hair, cell phone in my hand, and I'm screaming. And I am certain I frightened this man to death because he's just driving down a beautiful country road and out pops a half-naked, bloody woman screaming at the top of her lungs. But he's not stopping. And
He's not stopping.
So I plant my feet, throw my hands up, and you'd ask me, what was I thinking? This is the best thought that I clearly remember was I kept telling myself, they always stop on TV. That was my only point of reference. And when you think about it, when you're standing in front of oncoming truck, your body doesn't want to stand there. You have to force yourself to stand still because you want to jump out of the way. And I was like, I either get killed by this lunatic or I get hit by a truck. I'm going to take the truck.
Yeah.
And I just kept saying, he's going to stop. He's going to stop. They always stop on TV. So he finally stops, not that far away from me. I run to the door and I'm screaming, tell him where we are. I don't know where I am. Apparently, at some point, I dialed 911 in that window of getting out of the car. I don't remember.
You don't even remember? Okay.
I have no recollection of doing that. And he just sits in there frozen. Clearly, he's in shock. I don't know. But
you're
I turn
talking about the truck driver.
The truck driver. I turn around, and there had been another truck that their testimony was that they were watching my car because the way I had backed in, they assumed I was about to pull out, and they were afraid I was going to pull out in front of them. So they were watching me their whole time driving down the road, and they saw everything. They saw him hitting me and jerking me back in. So they stopped, and they had gotten out, and I had never seen them. So when I turned around...
When you say them, were there two people?
Husband and wife. Those people literally saved my life.
Really?
He would have just stabbed me to death in the street had that husband and wife not stopped. Like, I literally owe them my life.
You mean the guy in the truck would not have helped?
I don't think he would have. I believe his testimony was that he thought it was some type of a domestic violence issue and didn't want to get involved.
Oh, gee.
But when these other people got out, I think they were neighbors and knew each other. And it was, you know, I get that it was scary for him. And he didn't know what kind of a situation he was walking into. I mean, if the defendant had had a gun, he could have gotten shot.
Sure,
I get that. But I thank God that he wasn't the only one there.
So what did the couple do that saved your life?
The woman came back and stood with me. The man got on the phone and told 911 where we were, very specifically.
Were you in Scott County, by the way?
Bourbon County. And he said, we're at Firegate such and such. We're this many miles from this intersection, and was giving them instructions, and then put me on with 911. The wife stayed with me as I'm yelling because the defendant kept wanting to get to me. So the husband...
Where was he during this?
He sat in the car for the first few minutes. And then he gets out of the car, and I'm saying, be careful, he's got a knife. So the two men are now together. It's sort of like we're dancing. I'm moving around behind one truck. Wife is with me. Her husband and the other man are in front of the truck, sort of forming a barrier. And the defendant is, he'll move, and they'll move.
Is he hollering at the time, or what's he doing?
He was saying things to me like, they just need to go on. We were out there together. We were just hanging out doing cocaine together, and I got a little crazy. And they
said that?
Yes, and that they just need to leave me alone. And I was like, he tried to rape me. He's got a knife. And he said, you wish I would rape you. And I'm like... So I just said, you need to keep away from me. Keep him away from me. And so the two men were physically keeping him back.
The guy that was driving the truck and the one of the pair
yes.
of the man and the wife.
Yes,
okay.
So they kept him... away while I was on the phone with 911, and it felt like an eternity. I don't know how long it was, maybe 15 minutes before first responder showed up.
And who were they?
The first responder was, I believe, a volunteer Bourbon County deputy. Because I recall watching in horror some mistakes being made at the crime scene that were scaring me because I thought, okay, this guy's promised he's going to come back and kill me. I can't win a trial if I don't have evidence, and evidence is being washed away as I stand here.
You're thinking like a lawyer.
Yeah.
It is strange because I would throw up in a ditch,
right.
sob on the 911 call, and then instruct people, okay, that's evidence. Don't touch that. Get that knife. Don't let them go. They're witnesses. Get their name. And then I'd throw up again and then shake again. And it was total chaos.
Okay, we'll finish up at the scene here.
At the scene? Well, as we're standing there, I tell the witnesses, the 911 operator said we should have somebody there in about 5 minutes. Well, I'm thinking these people are going to leave me and he's going to kill me in the street, which obviously they weren't, but I'm not thinking rationally. So I'm begging them. I'm like, please don't leave me. Please don't leave. They'll be here in 5 minutes. When he heard that, he went back to the car and got a bag, a black bag that he had with him. He had a big roll of cash with a tube of cocaine in the middle of it. He had the knife, and he had what appeared to be in the bag was like some duct tape, rope, and a hammer. He grabbed that and is holding it over his shoulder. And then once we heard the sirens, he starts walking down this country road and jumps over into a heavily wooded area. And the men are watching to make sure he doesn't circle back around. And I'm just on the phone with 911 and this lovely woman who's trying to comfort me until the responders get there. And then they are searching for him. They put me in an ambulance because I'm not breathing. They're checking my wounds, checking me
out. When did you stop breathing?
It was very shallow, like they were afraid I was going to pass out because I just couldn't get my breath.
So you were hyperventilating, sort
yes.
of. Yeah.
And they had me in the ambulance for a little while, and the trooper came up and told me I needed to get out because I needed to identify him. They caught him.
Is that a state trooper?
The state trooper did not catch him. It was the local Bourbon County sheriffs. They'd surrounded him, and they called the trooper in, and he resisted arrest. So the trooper had to go in and drag him out from under some brush, and they had him in the back of the car.
And you had to identify. Hold that thought. 253-5959. Touch star 590 from AT&T. Toll free from anywhere. 1-877-777-0590. Email jackpatty at wvlkam.com. Time right now is 9:46, 14 minutes before 10 o'clock. And if you need a loan, there's no hassle at the castle, the biggest discounter of diamonds and fine jewelry. Here's the forecast. Increasing cloudiness this afternoon, high temperature in the low 60s today. Tonight, cloudy with showers, a low of about 50. For tomorrow, cloudy with showers, thunderstorms likely. Some storms could be strong and a high in the upper 60s. And on Sunday, rain ending early and a high in the low 60s. Right now, we have no precipitation. And under sunny skies, it's 44 at your official weather station, News Talk 590 WVLK. Our friends at Bluegrass Auto Body want you to know it doesn't matter who you do your insurance business with. If you're involved in an accident, it's your call where you get your car fixed. Apparently, some insurance companies will either tell you or imply that that's their decision to make, and it is not. It's the law. It's your right to select any auto body shop you want to do your work for you. Now, if you've ever been to Bluegrass Auto Body, we assume that you're going to go back there because I don't think there's any better place anywhere. I come from a long line of really bad drivers, so I've done a lot of business with them over the years. And in addition to that, I want you to know that they guarantee the work that they do for as long as you own the car. So I couldn't possibly more highly recommend them to you. It's the same family, and they've been in business in their 50th year now, three generations of Lancasters. Also, this being Friday, we want you to know that they're open half days on Saturdays from 9 to noon at both locations. So as we have said on this show for about 25 years now, when somebody runs into you, you need to run into Bluegrass Auto Body. Downtown, 1040 West High, 255-4040. The south location on Rusio Way off West Reynolds Road next to the Meyer Store, 219-8080, or log on to BG Auto.
Well, it's scary, but it's true. Technology is trying to climb into your head. I'm Giff, and this is Tech Trends. Ever had a problem writing a business email, trying to figure out how to address the person you're writing to if you haven't met them before or actually know them and what their personality is? Well, technology to the rescue. A new app is called Crystal, and they say it's the biggest improvement in email since Spellcheck. What this app does is it generates a personality profile based on your public social media posts and pretty much anything else that comes up when someone Googles you. So this app is attached to your Gmail account, so if somebody is sending you an email, it will give suggestions on how you like emails to show up. Me, I like things short and sweet. Tell me what you want and get out of my hair. Other people like to be schmoozed in an email. Wouldn't it be nice to know that? No. This one's just a little bit too creepy, but watch out in the business world. It's going to be a big deal. And that's Tech Trends today. Good luck out there.
Data transfer complete.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project, we never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org. On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project, we never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org. On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project, we never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Listen to News Talk 590 WVLK live anywhere, anytime at WVLKAM.com.
All right, we're back, and we're not going to have enough time to do this justice. So we're going to, Sharon has agreed to come back next week. And because we're not even to the trial yet, Ray, go ahead and take it.
Okay. Okay, Sharon, the trooper got there.
Yes.
And so what did you do at the scene after the trooper? And you felt, I guess by this time, you felt safe.
Safer.
Yeah.
And I think for the first time, I was starting to understand what had happened. When the first responder, the very first one came to me and said, what happened? And I told him, he said, oh, my God, you've been kidnapped. And I said, what? Who kidnapped? I still couldn't process. So by the time they found him, I had had time to really grasp that this man, it was only by the grace of God and that I fought back that I'm still alive. That man wanted me dead, and I was
mad.
I was very mad. So when they pulled me out of the ambulance to identify him in the back of the trooper's vehicle, I walked up to it. I was calm. The trooper said, I need you to identify him. I just looked at him and said, that's him. And I turned to walk away. And as I turned, he starts wagging his head and jerking back and forth in the back of the car, yelling, why are you doing this to me? What did I ever do to you? Why are you doing this to me? When he said, why are you doing this to me? I lost it. And I physically went at that car and was beating with my fists and kicking the door and trying to jerk the handle open. The trooper's window was down. So I was trying to shove my arm through his window. And I was screaming every nasty, foul name I've ever heard.
You said you had things coming out of your mouth that you didn't even know were in there, huh?
I had no idea. I don't know where it came from. Never said it before. I haven't said it since.
Yeah.
In fact, in my 911 call, I apologized to the operator. I said, I think I've used some bad language, and I'm really sorry. I don't usually talk like that.
Wow.
So this is coming out of me, and I want him to understand that he picked the wrong person, and he was done.
And he
I
was
said
gonna
to him
pay for that.
Repeatedly, you picked the wrong woman. You are going to die in prison if it's the last thing I do. You enjoy this view because it's the last time you're ever going to be outside. Blank, 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 blank.
Yeah.
So he was arrested and taken off, and we're going to pick it up from there because this basically is the beginning of a long story.
And this crime occurred in two counties. She was abducted in Scott County, and it ended in Bourbon County.
Correct.
And so, technically, how does that happen, Ray? What happens there? Do both?
Well, what I did, because I was a lunatic and afraid of this guy, this happened on a Friday. The Monday after, I went to Scott County, filed charges in Scott County so that I could get a holder on him. Meaning,
what does that mean?
That if he got bailed out in Bourbon County, there'd be charges waiting for him in Scott.
And
he could get bailed out, but he'd automatically get sent to jail in Scott County. Trying to buy myself time so I'd have notice if he got out.
Okay. Well, that was smart.
Okay, so that's what we're going to do next week. We're going to talk about what she did from here. here because it's fascinating.
Right.
And Mary, give us a little.
We got 2 minutes. 2 minutes, Mary.
Well, first this.
Okay, so that's what we're going to do next week. We're going to talk about what she did from here because it's fascinating.
Right.
And Mary, give us a little.
We got 2 minutes. 2 minutes, Mary.
Well, first, this does take us right back to our question of the day, where I agree that sometimes it's okay to cuss in public, and this would be an example.
Yeah, that's a good example.
That.
Okay.
But also, watching Ray and Jack, your all's reactions to this story, and when you said on air about this, makes me think about what would I do. That's why we're doing this. That's absolutely so much of why Sharon's doing what she does, to get people thinking about what would they do in certain situations, because once you've thought about it, you have such a better chance at actually taking that action to fight back and save your life or save the life of somebody else. Another big thing she's doing is letting people know that stopping, when you see something wrong, see something, say something, try and help, getting people to actually react to the things going on around them can save people's lives. And so much of what she's doing is available on her website, which is www.ownyourmoment.org. If you go there, you're going to get all sorts of ways that will empower you to not be a victim but be a survivor, which is truly what Sharon is. So please go to the website, look into her story, find your own story, find your own moment, and do know that your life is worth fighting for, and fight back.
Perfect. She even gave me the right amount of time, Ray.
Well,
she's good.
She's a natural.
How's your head? How's your psyche?
Me?
You okay?
I am. I seem okay. Well, I mean, I wasn't for a while, and to be honest, the system itself
was not friendly.
Traumatized me as much as that incident.
Yeah, we want to talk about that next week. Yeah, because they wasn't user friendly, was
not
it?
Not at all.
Yeah.
In fact, it violated me repeatedly.
Okay.
That's why I want to make sure.
We'll get into it next week. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Ray.
Okay. Thanks, Jack.
And stand by.